Okay, let's see, we're going to open our Bible somewhere. I think it's 1 Peter, let's try that. Yep, still in the book. All right, we just want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I think go along a little bit with the song there. We just need to remind ourselves sometimes that getting saved does not mean you sit on cloud nine and somebody throw chocolate drops at you. Yeah. Getting saved, you get in an army. It's called the Lord's army. Yeah. There's a resistance out there, and there are things we're supposed to resist. That's what we'll be doing with the Life Change Sunday, letting folks know where we stand and which side we're on. And maybe, and I think always, always probably prick the conscience of somebody that might be really in a bad situation and about to abort a baby, and it'll haunt them the rest of their life. It'll be a terrible thing. Can you imagine driving by and seeing all the signs, a car coming by with a mother in it, family in it, and kids just old enough to ask questions? What do those signs mean? What are they talking about killing babies, Mama? You know what? Some of these liberals ought to be asked questions like that. But they ought to. 1 Peter chapter 5 is a number of verses. I just want to read them, and we're not particularly got a great direction to go tonight. But I want to kind of remind us that we're not supposed to expect things to be so easy, and that we got a job to do. Peter's writing here. He says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." Now, he's exhorting elders, older ones in the church. He said, "Who am also an elder." One thing about getting old, you can talk about old people because you are one. And that's what Peter's doing here. "Who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ." Yes, he was there. He was there on the night of the betrayal in the garden. He was there when he saw the mob cry out to crucify him. Peter was there. And he says, "And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Peter was there too. That would have been what? Matthew chapter 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he saw the Lord Jesus transfigured before him. He saw Moses and Elijah. Peter knew something about what was waiting on the other side for us. He didn't just see the awful thing of Christ's suffering and the crucifixion, but he saw the glory that's to later be revealed in us. That's what he's saying here in verse 1. "So he tells the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." Folks, you better get a hold of what he just said there. If you serve God because you have to, somebody's making you, you're not going to get much reward for that. But it says willingly. Are you in church tonight because you'd rather be here than somewhere else? Willingly, willingly. That's big. "Not for filthy lucre," that's money, "but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." He's telling these elders, these preachers here, you're not to lord it over the flock. I don't think any of them had gold plumbing in their restrooms, or probably didn't drive a golden Cadillac. Some of this junk that passes off today on TV is ridiculous. Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd," that's Jesus, "shall appear," Peter knows he is coming, he is going to appear, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." All the crowns men have down here don't amount to much. I was thinking about it the other day. I read about some old movie star that died, and I thought, I remember when he was a star of some programs, and then later on, he was glad to see if he could get in a commercial to earn a little living. It all fades down here, don't it? All the crowns fade down here. They fade away. Verse 5, "Likewise ye younger," now he's left the elders, he's addressing the younger, And by the way, young folks, being young don't excuse you from doing right, don't excuse you from serving God. Says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. That's true. You watch your experience. It always comes around, don't it? Pride, there's two kinds of pride. There's the right kind and the wrong kind. The kind God hates. We've got to be careful for it. Building ourselves up. I heard a fellow say, in fact, it's been written down, I'm sure, many times, said, you see that guy right there? Said, he is so proud. Said, I wish I could buy him for what he's really worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. You understand what they were saying? He's somebody just really stuck up and think there's something. Most of the time, those folks got a hard fall coming. It won't be long. God has a way of pulling the rug out, don't he? He goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. If God does the exalting, it's good. We can exalt ourselves, we're heading for a fall. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's a wonderful verse. He cares for us, even though he knows all about us. That's interesting. That's good. Then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and folks, we do have an adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, looking all the time. Whom resist? Now, here's the point I want to talk on just a little bit tonight. Verse 9, we're supposed to resist some things. There's been a bunch of foolishness taught for years and years that Christians are supposed to just be submissive to everything. No, there's things we ought to resist. Amen. There's things we ought to stand against. Amen. We ought to stand for things and against things. We ought to stand for the truth and contend for the faith, as the Bible says. So he says, whom resist? The devil's going to always come after you, but we got to resist. I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, and he was quoting over there, James 4:7, I believe it is, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the deacon and he'll fly on you. Now, he must have had some bad deacons a time or two or something. But a little bit cute. But no, we're supposed to resist the devil. And that's what he said. Whom resist steadfast, constantly resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Get this point now, especially you college students, listen. He is saying here that the same afflictions you have, don't blame it on just being saved. The world has the same problems. It rains on the just and unjust alike. Lost men get cancer like saved men do sometimes. Lost men have friends betray them like saved men do sometimes. I mean, right down the line. So that's what he's saying. He's basically saying it's common to man. Don't be shocked by it, is what he's saying. It's accomplished in your brethren, and we're brethren in creation that are in the world, the worldly brethren, the unsaved. Verse 10, but God, the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, and yes, there's suffering by God's people, and we will suffer a while, but we won't suffer forever. There'll be an end to it. Yeah, you heard me say this before. A saved person is having all the hell they're ever going to have now. You understand that? But a lost man is having all the heaven he's going to have now. And his heaven now may include a lot of bad stuff in it. Ever think that thing through? Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Peter's telling us something like that here. Man, But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, it's going to come to an end, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Then he says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, you can read similar type admonition, encouragement from Paul, but that was from Peter. And I want to talk to you just a little bit on and I probably won't stay on track too much, but a little bit on this thing of resist the enemy. The devil is the enemy. It said in the portion we read, he's a roaring lion. And he wants to see who he can devour. He's seeking, he's looking, he's trying to trick people. And we can expect the devil's increase in the day and time we live in. Now, Revelation 12 talks about, and I think it's in the midst of the tribulation period or in that period of time, probably near the end of it, that Satan is finally thrown out of heaven. He still, at this minute, has access to heaven. He's called in Revelation 12 the accuser of the brethren. That means I've got one that comes before God's throne and points out every possible flaw that I have, and that's plenty. You say he's lying to God about you. No, I'm sorry, he's telling the truth. He can't lie to God. Nobody can lie to God. So my job is to not give him too much truth. But he is my accuser. He's your accuser. But he's going to be kicked out. That's what Revelation 12 said. The day's going to come. He has no longer access to come to the Father and point out Mickey Carter or your name. He can't do it forever. He's doing it right now. There's no doubt about it. He attacks. We look in the world today and we're so disgusted when we see the circus going on up there in Congress. I heard a little bit on the news of when I left the house. Hadn't heard much. Where... Dianne Feinstein said she wasn't going to trust the FBI investigation. She don't even know what it says. In other words, it's just a game with them. Roll it over more time. And we can't help but say, well, Lord, you know, why you let that go on? Well, he's just giving them more rope. They'll come to the end of it. If they don't come to the end of it now in this episode, they'll come to the end of it when God steps in. Amen. And no doubt about it. And we get all discouraged over that. But hey, according to the Bible, Peter said, don't think it strange when a fiery trial tries you, as though some strange thing happened to you. What we're saying here is common, so we better resist and not get tired of resisting. And you may get tired of it, but you don't quit doing it. I've seen some folks that when they got tired, they thought they had the right to sit down. No. You don't have a right to sit down until the job's done. And the job's not done yet. As God's people, we still must resist. Don't be surprised that it increases. You're going to see some of it in church. I've been surprised, and I'm going to say this to you because this is kind of the church family tonight. Do not be surprised, and I said this, I guess, last week or not long ago. Don't be surprised if we don't have some folks come in to cause disturbance in our church. Now, we may feel like killing them, but we won't do that. We'll handle it the best wisdom God gives us, but don't be shocked at it. Don't also take the attitude that something must be wrong with us. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, woe unto you when every man speaketh well of you. If a preacher walks in his pulpit and pussyfoots around to never say nothing to disturb somebody, he's not doing God's will. Jesus certainly had his opposition. John the Baptist had his. Paul had his. We're going to have ours if we stand for the truth. So don't be shocked that somebody disagrees. Well, okay. If they disturb the service too much, we'll ask them to leave, and if they don't leave that easy, we'll help them leave. But at the same time, don't be surprised at that. One time, when I was younger, I did a few things I probably would not do again. I mean, even as a preacher. Somebody donated us one of these big marquee signs on a little trailer on wheels. pretty good size sign. I'm guessing it was a 4x6 or pretty good size. And you could change the letters on the thing, you know, and put a different message on it. Well, we had not widened the building out, but we had this building. And it was summertime, and the crowd was down, as it is in the summertime. And somebody donated that sign. Somebody said, what are you going to do with it? I said, well, I don't know. So I rolled it out front, right in front of the church, and got to fooling around, trying to see what I wanted. Finally, the Lord kind of, I think the Lord did this. Now, it might not have been him. But I put on the sign, big fight this Sunday. I did. And we had a big crowd show up. They wanted to see the fight. I preached on fighting the devil. That's what I did. I couldn't fool them but once, but anyway, it didn't work next week. But the truth is, don't be shocked sometimes if we have some opposition show up here or there, because we're in the technological world now where everything, probably what I'm saying now, is going various places. Somebody's getting it on their phone, or somebody's getting it on a computer somewhere. And every now and then we have somebody kind of try to trick us or something like that. And we try to be wise as we can. I don't have time to tell you some of them stories. I know you'd love to hear them. But yes, we're going to have resistance. Don't be shocked by it. We ought to stand. We ought to resist. And we ought to stand for truth. And that's what's important. Ephesians 4 says, don't give place to the devil. Now, how do we resist? We resist by the way we live our Christian life, how we conduct our Christian life. If you run out of interest in serving God, if you run out of zeal, if you give up on your prayer life, do you know what? That's not resisting the devil. That's what he wants. If he can get you to burn out and quit, give up, say, what's the use? Then he's won that victory. He'll move on. Maybe it's somebody else. He's already laid you out, put you on the bench. And folks, that's happening all across in a lot of good churches. Folks say, well, we just can't win. Well, the game's not over yet. Amen. The last inning hadn't been played. We are winners. Amen. We will come from behind and win when the Lord Jesus comes back and takes over. Amen. I know you heard the baseball story. The fellow looked through the fence and saw two teams playing, and it looked like one team, baseball team, had the other one about 40-0, and it was still the first inning. They were still at bat. So he said to the little right fielder standing out there, said, hey, son, y'all losing pretty bad, aren't you? He said, no, sir, we ain't been to bat yet. Get the picture? You better understand something. We hadn't been to bat yet. Old world looks like it's winning, but it's a loser. Sad part is some of God's people look like losers when we're really winners. We ought to get back on top of things. I know things look pretty bad, but let's live clean. Let's live right. That's the biggest way you can fight the devil. Do God's will. That's what he don't want you to do. That's what he's trying to stop us all from doing. You've heard me reference it many times, and more than I tell about the girl that had the devils cast out of her, that we showed the film here in church and heard the demons talking, and very shocking, revealing thing. I learned quite a bit from it. In reading my Bible, I already knew that the devils never deny Jesus Christ all the way through your Bible. They'll say something like, are you here to torment us before our time? They know who the winner is. And those demons and that girl knew who the winner was. They never one time denied that Jesus was the Son of God. They never one time denied that he shed his blood on the cross. In fact, when the preacher would mention the blood of Jesus, they'd scream like you stuck a knife in them. They are defeated, and they know they're defeated. But the trouble is, they've got a lot of God's people bluffed into thinking they're winners when they're not. And some of the talk they had, If you want to know where your rap music, your dirty four-letter words, your filthy talk, if you want to know where it originated, those devils was talking that. And at the time we showed the film, we'd already heard it on the street, so to speak, but not as bad as it is now. You know, there's guys made millions of dollars off of talking that kind of dirt and filth. That's devil talk. It come from hell, as it were. One of those demons spoke up and said, when the youth leader said something about the blood of Christ, he screamed and he said, "I was there. I saw the whole bloody mess." That's what the devil said out of the girl, with a big man's voice out of a little weak voice girl. That talk came from them. So if it's coming on the street today and coming on your TV today and coming everywhere, it's right out of hell. It's a late hour, folks. The devil is walking about. He is having his way. He is fooling people. And the grossness of sin is being minimized today. The Bible says sin is exceedingly sinful. It's just as sinful now as it was when Jesus Christ walked on this earth. God has no higher opinion of sin now than he had when it crucified his son on the cross. We get into the world system and get to thinking things aren't so bad because we hear it so much. No, it's just as bad as it ever was. Just as bad as it was when it originated. We have a very real enemy. Ephesians 6 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's the tools the devil uses. He uses flesh and blood. But he's behind it. He's in high places. He's got that kind of power. Say, well, what do? Well, we live clean. We live right. We contend. We resist. And we pray. We're going to find out, and I'm going to be as guilty as many. We're going to find out that the greatest weapon we had, we didn't use enough. Prayer. We have seen some things here in our church on answered prayer. I think Brother Scotty is alive right now and gaining because of it. Brian Baker's walking around because of prayer. And yet, we'll say, I believe that. Yet I wonder how much extra praying we do. It's a lot easier to pray when it's you or your loved one. But it's not only for health. It's for so many other things. The minister here needs your prayers. Every bit of it. The day school, the college, the radio. The whole thing. Because we have outreaches like we do, we are a bigger target for the devil to get at. I told the teachers up there tonight, and I'm telling you, we'll go out there and stand Sunday for an hour. We'll be careful. We'll be safe. We'll watch out for the kids, not letting any of them step out in the road or anything, because all it would take is just one little incident. And if it's a church, it goes worldwide, gets painted horribly everywhere. So we always have to be careful. Sometimes some of you get around here, and maybe even on staff, you think the rules pinch a little bit. We are erring on the side of safety, on the side of testimony. It may be doubtful, and we might even get to heaven and find out it wouldn't have been wrong if you'd done it. But God's not going to punish you for backing way back on the line and staying on safe ground and giving him the benefit of the doubt. He won't do that. You've heard my illustration before of the old days when freight was hauled by wagons instead of big trucks, and roads were not what they are now. Many of them dirt roads, wooden bridges, and that sort of thing. And a freight company, the owner, had up a sign that he needed to hire some drivers. Needed to hire a driver, I guess it was. So a couple of men came in and applied for the job. And the owner said, "Fellas, it's so many mules pulling a heavy wagon of freight. You got to be a good driver. You got to be able to drive correctly." "Yes, sir, we're good drivers." So he asked him, "I got a test question I want to ask you." He said, "There's a certain bridge on our route." And he said, "That it's a narrow bridge." He said, "I want to know if you're a good enough driver to come along the edge of that bridge with your wheel just close to it, but not slip off of it." One man spoke up and said, "Yes, sir, boss," said, "I could put half the wheel over the edge of that bridge and never lose it. I'm that good." He asked the other man, said, "Well, what about you? Were you that good?" He said, "I don't know, boss. I always tried to stay far away from the edge." He said, "I'm hiring you." You get the point? Some of you quit trying to just say, "Well, maybe I can get by with this. Maybe I can put half the wheel over the edge right here." God wants to see us back off from the edge. Stay safe, stay secure, stay where our testimony is without blemish and challenge. And that's important. When it comes to your prayer life, yes, pray believing, like the book of James said. Otherwise, you ask amiss, and it's a challenge to do that. But it does work. We see it work here in our ministry. Pray in faith, pray with our heart in it. Builds a hedge around our ministry. I believe that. Some of the old stories you hear me, and I don't know where I earned this title or not, but I got to notice it here in the last few years. When folks say something, it catches on sometime and goes around and then plays back to you. And one of the things I've heard several times the last few years, I enjoy the preacher's old stories. Well, they're not just stories. They did happen. They are events. And I tell them as a testimony to the Lord who done it. Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." That's all I'm trying to do is say so. Amen. Give him the credit and him the glory and him the honor. So you're not going to bluff me out. I'm going to still tell them, no matter how old I get to you. Because I want to hear them again myself. Amen. Amen. But truth is, most of those stories are answered prayer. If not mine, somebody else's. Amen. Somebody else's. And God is in the prayer answering business. And over and over and over, I rebuke myself sometime when I think that seemed impossible. Now God has done it. It had to be him. Couldn't have been no other way. And have I praised him enough for it? I've kind of got a little guilt complex of not praising the Lord enough. Like I'm almost getting to the place of, okay, I expected that. Okay, I'm glad of that. Yeah, no. We should always be excited over the last answer we had and not forget the early ones we had either. I want to say to you, we got to resist the enemy. He is going to be raging. Revelation 12 says in the midst of the tribulation, I believe in the midst of the tribulation, when he's kicked out of heaven, it says the heavens rejoice over him being kicked out. But it says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he's coming down knowing that he has but a short time. Now, spiritually, I think we'd apply that to our day. I don't think we're in the tribulation period. But the devil has increased his activities. He has increased his lying machine. He has increased his deception. You and I better be fortified against it. If we're going to resist and keep on keeping on for God, doing the things that we know is the right thing to do, then that's the best thing we can do to resist the enemy. We need to do that. If you're getting down in the dumps a little bit, if you see a defeat like maybe we're seeing in Congress and all, hey, it's not the end of the ball game. It's not the final ending. The Lord is still going to win. Amen. And I'm still on his side. I guess it was during the Civil War, they say that Abe Lincoln, somebody come up to him and said to him, said something like this, said, Mr. Lincoln, don't you believe that God's on our side? He said, that's not what concerns me. What concerns me is whether or not we're on God's side. We always kind of think that through a little bit. God's side's the right side. I want to be on it, don't you? Yeah. All right, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. We just thought we'd encourage ourselves a little bit from the word tonight. Father, if Peter's writing to the elders and then to the younger folks, and he's telling us to resist the devil, that means we can, Father, that we don't have to be beat down by it. I pray you'd encourage us in spirit as we go out, as visitation tomorrow and bus ministry and all that before Sunday and then Sunday. Encourage us for the things that we do that we know are right and represent you. That's the best way we can resist the enemy. Bless the choir now as they get ready for Sunday. Give us a good day, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother.